Blog Talk Radio.
What up, what up, what up? This is The Recruit with Adrian Reese, and you're locked in, brought to you by SOAR Radio by way of PDP Richardson. And I'm going to switch things up today, you know, just in the mood that I'm in, because I don't do anything without praying first. I always pray. I pray with my guests before I start the show, but God is really leading me to pray now to start this show. And so I just want everybody who's listening, all the listeners, just bow your head, close your eyes. We're going to go to God in prayer. Father God, we come to you today, God, first of all, saying thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for this time. Thank you for where you brought us to. Thank you for this moment, God. We thank you for who you are in our lives, God. We ask you to just continue to be with us, Father God. Ask you for forgiveness for our sins, forgiveness for our wrongdoings, Lord, for all of our shortcomings, all of our mistakes, God. We ask you to just help us to learn from them, God, that we may grow in you, that we may see and recognize the lessons and that you're trying to teach us, Father God. Help us to understand it. Open our minds and our eyes to see you, Lord, to hear your voice, Father God, to feel your presence, Lord, in our lives, God, in our every situation, God. We come to you today, God, just saying thank you and just asking you to watch over all those who are listening, watch over the conversation on tonight on the show, God. Ask you to just bless and move like never before, God. Do what you do. Do your thing, Lord. Do your thing, Lord. Ask you to just have your way, God. Comfort those who need comforting, Lord. Encourage those who need encouraging, Father God. Bring us down where we're too high. Lift us up where we're too low, God. We ask you to just do what you do, Lord. Do what you do, Lord. You know my state of mind, Father God, and I'm coming to you, Lord. My heart is crying to you, Father God, for encouragement, Lord. My heart is crying to you, Father God. I'm just a man, Lord. Even though I'm the host of this show, Lord, I'm still a man, and I still need prayer, Father God. I still need you, Lord. And I'm asking you to just watch over us, God. Watch over this conversation. Continue to do what you do, Lord, and just help it to serve your purpose, Lord. Help something to be said that touches someone out there, Lord, that they may come to know you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
And yeah. Now, I just, like I said, it's kind of a change of pace for us, but that's where God was leading me. And I am excited about this show because it's what God has entrusted me with. And when God places things on our heart and God moves us to do things. And when we step in doing those things, the enemy, he attacks because the devil wants to see anything come to pass that will draw people to Christ. And this past week and this past couple weeks, it's been a little tough for me. But my guest on the show today is a good friend of mine, Brian Duncan, someone I met in college at Texas Tech. We came in together in the same recruiting class in 06, and he was someone that I wouldn't necessarily say we just automatically clicked and were best friends, but we were cool from the start, and we kind of had kindred spirits. We were both raised in the church. He's from Baton Rouge. We were both raised in the church, and but he was actually living the life, and I was just in the church. I had been in the church. The church was actually in him, and I guess that's the best way I can put it. But the life he lived, being young and being committed to Christ, it was inspiring to me. And whether he knew it or not, and I didn't even know it at that time, he was recruiting me to Christ. And I'm excited to have him on the show because I know that I know the type of man that he is, the godly man that he is, and I know he's always been an encouragement to me. And I'm just excited to bring him on and have him share with all the listeners on tonight. And so with no further ado, I welcome Brian Duncan. What's up, B-Dunk?
What it do? Whoop, whoop, whoop. Hey, man, you got a smile, man. You got a smile, me boy.
Hey, man, I appreciate it, man. And for everybody out there, you know, it's Brian Duncan, but little nickname we kind of called him was B-Dunk, and so if you hear me refer to him as that, that's what I'm talking about. But how's everything going, man?
Everything's well, man, and just listening to you, man. Again, we got a chance to discuss a few things on the phone before and pray, And you know, just to reiterate, man, I am proud of you. You're doing an awesome job. You know, the background that I know of you, now don't, I ain't all holier than thou, but you know, and I have my ups and downs, and you know, my times I had to find myself. But you know, you're absolutely right, man. I believe that you know, no matter what you do, no matter what you say, somebody's going to be watching, somebody's going to be observing. So you got to be careful, you got to be mindful. And I'm just grateful to be a person in your life, man, that you looked up to. I don't know why. You know, I'm crazy. I'm crazy all outdoors. So just a person you looked up to, man, and you're inspired by, man. So I love it, man. I appreciate it.
And man, you know, I do look up to you, and I am inspired by the life you live and the things that the encouraging words you always have. Now, I've given the people a brief overview, a little brief history of us, but tell them a little bit about yourself.
Well, man, first and foremost, man, I love the Lord. Again, you know, not no perfect saint, but you know, have opportunities where I get to witness and, you know, get back in the grasp of what God has called me to do. But, yes, I am married now. Bye. I am married. Yes. And, you know, it got its ups and downs. You know, this married life at a young age is crazy, man. That's all I'm going to say right now. We can probably get into it a little later. But, yeah, I'm married. I have two beautiful kids. Griffin Alexander and then Brooklyn Grace, my girl and my boy, raising them, trying to raise them. These kids are crazy. Adrian, you might need to come back on over here loving and babysit for me. Better get on out.
Babysit.
Hey, okay, I got you. They crazy. anyway, man, I've just recently changed jobs, man. I was a sports anchor for the local station up here, KMAC Channel 28. Now I'm actually working with a company called Germ Blast. And what that is a higher-level disinfecting company. We're touching lives, man. We're saving lives. Probably can't even count how many lives we've saved already, not only in healthcare but in schools, man. We're wiping away germs, viruses, bacteria, keeping teachers in the school and students in the class seats and patients from just coming in for a hip replacement, keeping them from, you know, to be frank, from dying. You know, got people going in hospital for hip replacement and just getting hospital inborn infections. So we're decreasing all that stuff one step at a time, man. So that's where I am, man, and just moving forward, man. That's who I am.
And like you said, and as the people can see, you're an upbeat guy. You know, I've never known you to be any other way. And, you know, that's encouraging. But, you know, a lot of times, and I kind of can relate to that. I'm pretty upbeat, pretty high-spirited, and seem to sometimes always come off or play the role of encourager. And I know I can remember different times in college, just in talking to you or being around you, where you've encouraged me and you spoke life into me. And, you know, I just wanted to ask you, with that personality that everyone knows you as being the encourager and being the one who has the high spirit and one who has great faith, is there ever a time when you've really been felt like you needed encouragement, or you've called or talked to someone intending to encourage them, but it's ended up being the other way around?
Man, you hit that question on the mark, man. Absolutely, absolutely, man. There's so many times that I'm down. Things, you know, again, we've talked about this before the show, but the devil moves, man. The devil, he moves. He's on attack. You can see the generation that's coming up now, man, and how people are acting, how people talking, you know, the shame that people lack these days that they don't have. Man, you can see that the devil is on the move. And, you know, just like I mentioned to you before, man, whenever the devil knows that God is about to move in your life and he's about to do some big things in your life, he begins to put on his A game, you know what I mean? Begins to do what he needs to do to make sure it doesn't happen. And I have a number of times that happened to me, man, where I'm just by myself, man. You know, I have that B-Dunk persona to everybody that as soon as we see B-Dunk, you know, he's going to be excited. He's going to have, you know, he's going to make us laugh. He's going to do this. But in all reality, man, just like you said at the beginning, I need that prayer as well, man. I need that support and that lift, you know, need that exhortation from others. So when I do get opportunities to call and talk to people, you know, they encourage me. Absolutely. The biggest thing for me, and it may be encourage someone out there, is I really have, and you may can pray for me on this, but I have a hard time doing it with the closest people in my life. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Everybody outside of my household, you know, sees the smiling B-Dunk and the funny B-Dunk and the awesome want to be around them. But man, the person that's most important is my wife that's sitting right in the house, you know, uh-huh. that we have problems and stuff with. So, you know, for those listeners out there and for you, amen, you guys pray on that, because it's tough for me to be that way, you know, with someone that I truly love. And I don't know why. I don't know if it's some of the things that we do, say to each other, some of the things that we, you know, talk about. I don't know why, man, but it's tough for me. But absolutely, to answer your question, man, I do need that encouragement. But at the same time, I'm, you know, I know what it takes. I know exactly what it takes.
And you, we, like you mentioned before, we talked a little bit before the show started, and, you know, just, you know my state, current state now of being engaged. I've been engaged for a little over 3 weeks now, and it's just over the last few weeks, I've been really, it's been not so much overwhelming, but things have been coming, weighing on me in the sense of responsibility and the things I need to do and how, you know, I need to take the lead in a lot of things and support and be there and take care of things as the man should. And it's like, you know, it kind of got to a point where the feeling of inadequacy came.
Yeah.
And it's good to hear you say that, you know, I'm not alone in that, in the sense of you feel inadequate, but that you have to work within your marriage, and that you experience the same thing, because, like I said, we kind of have light personalities, but that doesn't mean that we can neglect those that are closest to you, as you said. And because how can we expect to minister to anybody else if our house is in shambles? And that's something that God is making real to me. Mm-hmm. Because I can't sit here and claim to be a recruiter for Christ, but I'm not following first. And that's something that you really just reminded me of in our conversation even before the show, that how in trying to lead, in leading, we have to first be a great follower in order to be a great leader. And now, you know, my question for you is, did you always have this personality from a youngster and of just being upbeat? And when was it really that Christ became real in your life?
That's a great question, man. From when I was young, I actually got a chance a while back to see some video of myself at age six. And, you know, I always hear my mom tell me, you know, the charisma, you know, the outgoing personality that I had. And she said I was so outgoing and I love women that do.
Oh, okay.
She said I would at church, and don't judge me, I'm going to slap you. But she said at church, man, I would go, I didn't care who it was, or, you know, just kind of, and I'm not doing it today, of course, that's not, you know, anyway, let me tell you. I would go, and I would get on my knees, and I would look under women's dresses, man.
Oh,
I wouldn't care, I don't know what it was. You know, she was telling me that it wasn't the fact that I was, I was always just curious, you know.
Yeah.
She said it wasn't in the wrong way or yada, yada, yada. But, you know, I was always that person that liked to have fun, just person that could smile, you know, make people laugh. So you know, I was fortunate. I was blessed to have that at a young age, absolutely. And I would say most definitely favor is not fair. I've grown up on that all my life, that favor is not fair. So things that I've grown up, some things that God has blessed me with, you know, is just, is basically is not fair, man, you know.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, when I knew he was real, probably sometime around late middle school or in early high school. And then I knew he was real. When I found out he was real, man, was when all of this crazy temptation just started happening, man. Just temptation after temptation, you know. Temptation from, you know, getting the latest drugs out there, man, hanging out with the, you know, quote-unquote coolest people, you know, skipping class, you know, smoking this or, you know, and then sex was huge, man. Sex was it was everywhere. And the crazy thing, hey, it was in the school at a young age. You know, people didn't really recognize that and understand it, but it was.
Yeah.
So, you know, all that temptation, man, it got to a point to where I kind of understood, man, that this is what God is calling me to do, is to not only persevere through these types of temptation, but just to be that person in the community to say, oh crap, if he can do it, well, hey, I'm all good. You know what I'm saying? If B Dunk can do it, if B Dunk can turn it down, if he can persevere, if he can talk and be this happy, put a smile on people's face, then I can do it. So I do believe that I had that at a young age growing up, and I think it saved a lot of people. And before you go to your next question, let me tell you this, hey, you know, we talked about, you know, people seeing things and looking at things and, you know, seeing how you act and how you respond at different situations. Let me tell you this, I was here in Lubbock about 4 or 5 years ago. I was coming into a restaurant and in the door, and I had this huge smile on my face, this huge, don't know why, don't know where it comes from, but again, that same personality that I've had this huge smile on my face. And what happened was this man came up to me, Big A, and he said, hey, man, what is it that you have? What is it about you, man? It's something that's just glowing, man. You just got this huge smile on your face. What it is? And dude had an opportunity to save this dude's life, minister to him, and say, it's just the blood of Jesus that's just running over my life, man. And he said at that point, man, he was rejuvenated. He wanted to commit suicide at one time, yada yada, and he changed his life around. So be careful, man. Be careful of who's around. You know, people grow up and people see things about you that could either lead them to Christ or turn them away. So that's why I always have that smile, big boy. That's why I always have that smile. I never smile. Even when I'm at my toughest times, I smile through it. You know what I mean? So you hit that up, man. Good question.
Yeah, and just hearing you sharing that testimony about walking into the restaurant with a smile on your face, and that was just a moment to where you were able to be a light, which is what God calls us to be. His word tells us that he's the light of the world, and we are to be a reflection of him. And so all we do is reflect his light. He shines through us. He should be able to shine through us. And in that moment, he was able to shine through you into a dark place, into a person that was in a dark situation in their life. And it just really speaks to the fact of how, regardless of whatever the situation may be, smiling, just something that simple as smiling, can change someone's life.
Yeah.
And you've always been, like I said, we keep saying you've always been had that personality, been the one smiling. But you're always, you know, friendly. You, like you said, you never met a stranger. And I remember in college, I'm like, man, why B Dunk always talking to everybody? Man, calm down. And
What y'all saying? Nah, be real. What y'all saying? What y'all always say? B Dunk is doing what?
What y'all always say?
Nah, y'all talk. Let me tell you what you say. You want to tell you what y'all said to me all the time?
Go ahead.
There go B Dunk over there shaking hands and kissing babies again. Always came out of you. That's you, B Will, and you be saying that every time. You kiss that baby this time? Yeah.
Hey, And that's you know, yeah, that's what we said. I gotta admit, but and I didn't understand it in the, at that time. You know, I understood that that was your personality, but I didn't understand it and understand the positive effect that that could have. And just in looking back on it now, and even as the years we went through college, and just seeing how, like you said, favor isn't fair, but you had favor with a lot of different people because of the fact of the community aspect and the fellowship that you shared with them and just greeting them and sparking conversation. And so my next question is, you know, how powerful do you view fellowship and community and actually being a part of community, not just, you know, your local surroundings, but whether it's within the church or within a small group or just a community of people coming together on one accord? How powerful is that for you?
It's huge, man. It's huge, and it's uplifting, actually, man. And I encourage people out there to get involved in groups. I mean, I'm not, you know, I most definitely would advocate that you get, you know, a part of life groups that go on through your church or life groups, positive life groups that, you know, where you can get a group of people together and, you know, you guys are all the same, have the same mindset, and that's getting to the next level and that's growing. Because, you know, I'm sure a lot of you out there heard that, you know, you put yourself around these negative people that, you know, that are your friends and yada, yada. You know, why are you sitting up here trying to rise? These people are constantly trying to pull you down. So I think it's huge. Fellowship is big because, you know, you have that opportunity where, you know, you can go whenever there's issues, situations, you know, problems, you know, things like that. Just you have an opportunity to go and talk to someone about it, you know, outside of your normal, you know, venue or whatever you talk to. You know, you have an opportunity to fellowship with somebody and understand that you're not alone. You are not alone in these situations and these places that you go. And so my whole aspect and my whole thought process behind the kissing babies and shaking hands, you know, and I had wisdom at a young age, was that, you know, the more you network, Big A, the more you get involved with people around you, the better it is. Not only spiritual, let's just take the spiritual aspect out of it. I mean, talk about meeting someone 5 years ago and then coming back in contact with that same person today, and that person 5 years ago didn't bless you then, but hey, 5 years down the road, he's giving you a job, he's giving you big time money, he's putting you
in a position
to help out. Yes, they're in the, yeah, absolutely, they're in the position to take care of you, to make sure that, you know, that you're taken care of. You know, there's so many pictures and so many autographs that I gave, so many conversations that I have, that I couldn't even think about saying that person's name that I talked to, but they'll come up to me, man, Big A, and they'll say, hey, Brian Duncan, what's up, B-Dunk? I'm like, my whole mindset is, who are you? You know, why are you talking to me so cool, like we know each other? And the crazy thing is, these people never forget the impact that you put on their life. So that's why they think that you're so cool, which is so, you know, so close to you, is because the how you touch their, how you impact their lives back then. So fellowship, man, fellowship is powerful, man. It's huge. God wants us to fellowship with those who are like-minded. Also fellowship with those who you can give an opportunity to you know, grow and give wisdom and encourage and stuff like that. So the word fellowship, when you say that, man, it's huge. I want people everywhere to understand how big fellowship is, because if you try to keep to yourself, God can't bless you through that. And the biggest thing is, he wants to bless you and bless other people through you. So I think fellowship is huge, man. It's the big key to success.
And, you know, I agree completely, but my mindset wasn't always like that up until the last few years. Really see that. And, you know, I was a guy who, I was cool with everybody, but nobody really knew me. And I was somewhat of a loner. I kept things in. You know, I would pray, but my relationship with Christ wasn't where it is now. It wasn't an intimate relationship, I'll put it like that. But I was a guy who I knew everybody. I was cool with everybody. You know, what's up? You know, oh, that's Big A, whatever. But nobody really knew me. I never really opened up with anyone. And with time, things just started to, it got to a point where I couldn't function. And because I had no one to bounce ideas off of. I had no one to vent to. I had no one, and those things just began to bubble up inside of me to the point where eventually I was going to explode. And all of this stuff was going to come pouring out that I didn't want everyone to know. And even on, and just sharing with the listeners before the today, it's I mean, the enemy has really been on attack. And it's like, and just me personally, it seems everything that I've been trying to do and everything I'm working on in the season of life that I'm in, it's like nothing is going right. Nothing is going right. And it was just weighing on me. And literally 10 minutes before the show started, I mean, it all just came to a head, and I just didn't know what to do. And so I reached out to you. I reached out, and I called Brian and just shared that with him. And in me sharing and in me being vulnerable and in me, you know, just letting him in, he was able to speak life into me. He was able to encourage me. And that was, I mean, that was hard. I'm not going to lie. It was hard just putting myself out there, especially as a man. You know, we have this exterior that we want to be hard. We want to act like nothing phases us, but we're human beings just like everybody else. And, you know, in looking and knowing and watching your life from close and from afar, I know that you have such a powerful impact on people, even in the times when you don't realize it. And so in going forward in life, what is it that really keeps you in that state of mind? Is there, what really keeps you strong in your faith? Is there are there things that you do on a consistent basis? I know prayer, but is there anything that you do or a mindset that you try to have and staying grounded?
What it is, man, is positive fear of the Lord. You know, I think that's what keeps me grounded. I think that's what keeps me making sure that, you know, my head is on right, that I have an ultimate goal. And my ultimate goal, Big A, is to be on the front line in heaven. You know, everybody, again, you said that. You said it clearly, man. I don't have that. I didn't have that mindset, you know, and a lot of people don't have that mindset. You're absolutely right. Again, people think differently. People, favor's not fair, you know, can't have opportunities to envy one another, but at the same time, you know, look to inspire each other. But what keeps me going, man, look, I've had dreams on top of dreams, Big A, that, you know, I was in this line, and the line was you either go one way or you go the other. You go either to heaven or hell. So I'm just in this line, man. I'm excited. You know, I'm all pumped up, you know, and these are dreams, but I'm all pumped up and excited, you know, because B-Dunk about to go to heaven. You know, B-Dunk is about to do his thing, man. He's about to get called. You know, I'm the second person in line, and I'm just seeing people left and right going hell, and I'm like, nah, that ain't me, dog. I'm good. I'm good. I'm about to get into these gates, yada, yada. Man, I get up there, and, you know, and the first thing he says is, depart from me, you work of iniquity, you know, I don't know you. And it just hits me every time, Big A. It hits me every time that, you know, my hope and my dream is to get to heaven, you know, is to get to heaven. But I got to make sure that I'm doing the right thing. You know, it's not in my works. You know, that's not going to get me to heaven. It's not in my, you know, the good things that I do for other people, but, you know, it's my heart, you know, it's what, you know, what I believe, my faith, man. And when I have those dreams, you know, to sit up here and think about this stuff and still go to hell, man, I got to make sure that I put that smile on my face. I got to make sure that my heart's right when I go take communion. I got to make sure that, you know, my attitude day to day, you know, exceeds what God's want me to do. Now, again, it's tough, and God understands that. He got our will, you know, that's why I go through things with my wife. You know, it's real tough. It's real tough. You know, that's why the devil is so active. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, man, at the end of the day, you got to have that one. I don't know what it is for me. It's a dream. You know, I can't stand dreaming it. I can't stand getting into that place where I have to dream it. But it just slaps me in the face to let me know that, hey, dude, you ain't made it. You got some work to do. Keep your mind focused and just go from there. So I think that one thing for me kind of keeps me grounded, kind of keeps me going, keeps that smile on my face. And then also my kids, man, I'm trying to raise these, like I said, these crazy little kids up to be some God-fearing people, man. And I think that's what keeps me going as well.
And you mentioned positive fear. Now, what exactly do you mean by that?
When I say positive fear, when I say the right fear, it's not being scared of, you know, if I step out here, you know, or if I do this, or if I say this, God's going to strike me down, and he's not going to like me, he's not going to love me, he's just going to be totally against me. And when I say positive fear, I'm talking about a fear that gives you the boldness to know that, man, God is bigger than any of my problems. God is bigger than any of my situations, anything that I can possibly think of. God is bigger than the fear to know that at any point in time, you know, it's not going to cause me to walk on eggshells, but any point in time, God can put me to the ultimate test. He can put me to the ultimate test, and he can say, okay, go ahead, devil, do what you got to do with him, and watch my servant come through. You know, I'm talking about that fear that keeps you grounded, the fear that makes sure that you know that, hey, again, just like I said, you haven't made it. You know, your hopes and your aspirations is to make it to heaven. But again, if your heart is not right, if your heart's not positive, if your heart and your faith is not right, it's not going to happen, man. So that fear and that positive ammunition that I get each and every day, that's when I talk about positive fear, that right fear, not the wrong fear, not scared because he's God, you know. It's respectable fear. I respect God enough that, you know, I'm going to make sure that even if I mess up, I'm going to make it right. I'm gonna make sure that even if something goes on, that fear begins to stir up. I'm gonna make sure it's not fear of, you know, doubt, fear of shame, fear of guilt, but it's gonna be fear and ammunition of the Lord, because I know that, hey, he got me, he got me, he got me.
It's like the relationship for me and probably for you with your dad, with your father.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because at the end of the day, you know, you may do things and get out of line, and they come down stern with you and discipline you, but at the end of the day, you know, oh, he loves me.
Absolutely.
You know, daddy got me.
You
know, it sounds like that's exactly it. At the end of the day, it's the same way with our relationship with Christ. You know, we're not perfect, we're not sinless, and we're going to make mistakes, but God will discipline us at times. But at the end of the day, we can rest in knowing, hey, daddy got us. You know, daddy loves us.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that discipline, man, golly, dude, it's tough, man. It's worse than any real father can give you. It is just to kind of give you an idea, man. That stuff, man, when God gets a hold of you and he disciplines you, man. You better watch out. You think he was afraid of your real dad. Just, you know, put the positive fear. And you only get positive fear. You get positive fear when you understand that, man, he got my back. Regardless of how hard or how rough he disciplined me, he got my back at the end of the day. I'm good to go.
And that's exactly it, man. And that's what Christ gives. And I can attest to that myself. And, you know, with you having that positive fear and, like you said, at times there may be times when you step out of line or you kind of get off the path that God is really wanting you to stay on. in being an athlete and a football player specifically. We were teammates at Tech, but you were saved and you were living for God during those years and from a young age. And so was it challenging at times? Because I know even with me, all of the things, different things that were pulling at me and the things that I succumbed to that I didn't used to do before college, but that stigma and that stereotype that goes with a college football player. You know, how was being saved and playing D1 college football, and how were you able to stay within your faith and stay strong in your faith?
You know, man, that's tough. It was tough. It was tough all years that I was there. You know, it wasn't one year that was worse than the other. It was tough for me every single year. And it was even tough for me knowing the background that I had, because you and I, man, we did some things together, you know, that caused us to venture out and, you know, do some unreal stuff, you know, not crazy stuff, but I mean, stuff that, you know, God, if God was sitting right next to us, you know, and he had an opportunity to slap him in the back of the head, you know, of course we wouldn't be sitting in their situation. We wouldn't be in those buildings. We wouldn't be, you know, talking certain ways and stuff like that. So, yeah, because you're there's so much of influence around you, man. People do, you know, Big A, and you know it, being that college D1 athlete, you know, everybody won't be able to relate to that, but they can relate to a point where there's so many temptations out there. Man, they had girls after girls. They had, money thrown at you after money thrown at you. Opportunities that could really jack you up, dude, really jack you up. I've been through it, you know. I would say that most of those I've overcame, you know. Most of them I went through. But some of them were a point where I really had to find out whether or not this walk was real. You know what I mean? So yeah. I went through some of that stuff. I did some of that stuff. Kind of been outside of myself at a few times, but something always, man, that spirit, man, that's in you, man. When you have it in you, Big A, when your parents put you in a position to learn what that spirit, man, is all about. And again, everybody's not gonna have that situation, just to let you know. But that spirit, man, is in everybody. And the crazy thing is that spirit, man, always turned me. Bro, I felt so guilty, man. I felt so bad. I felt so, you know, like, man, this ain't me at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's, yeah, absolutely. Every time I did it, it was just total conviction. So I think what kept me grounded during that time was conviction. And when you get to know the Lord, when you get to experience Him on a level that normal people don't experience Him on, and you begin to venture out and begin to do your own thing, that spirit, man, in you, dude, is gonna go to war with you. It's gonna go to war with you, and that's what it did. That's what kept me grounded. That's what kept me back. And then just understanding, Big A, dude, that 5-minute pleasure of doing all of that stuff, I experienced Christ, and so. That 5-minute pleasure of outside of Him, dude, it compares to the scum that's on your feet, man. It compares to that. The love of Christ is so crazy, man. So crazy. And once you get to, that's why you're in a position so that people can experience that, man. That's why I'm so proud of you. That's why I'm so excited of what you're doing right now. And the fact that you're being vulnerable today, you know, people need to see that. People need to feel that. People need to hear that, you know, because they're going through some of the same things that you're going through. And the fact that people can experience that and know that they have the love of Christ behind them, it'll keep them out of danger, bro. It'll keep them out of danger to the fullest. So, again, also had guys like you. Also had guys like we had Dr. John Thomas, we had life groups, we had Bible studies, we had the Act Men's Ministry. You know, I didn't only fight that stuff myself, but I had guys, you know, to fight that stuff with. So it's always important. Yeah, teammates. It's always important to surround yourself with, again, with people that's like-minded, and people that can just support you, man. People that can get you through that stuff, you know. So yeah, I think I had all of that during my years. That's why I'm in the position that I am now.
And that's exactly it. You know, like I said, we both play football. We're teammates. But even in Living for Christ, we're all Christians. We're on the same team. And yeah. we're against the same opponent. And we're trying to reach the goal of making it to heaven. But we're there to help each other. We're all one body. The Bible tells us we're all one body. But just like on a football team, you play linebacker. I play receiver. We had different positions, different roles. But at the end of the day, we're all fighting for the same team, for the same goal.
Absolutely.
And, you know, a lot of times it gets mixed up. And, you know, we claim to be on the same team, but yet we're pulling each other down. And we're really trying to knock each other shine, as we would say. But that's what God calls us to do, is to shine, is to be a light. And it's really amazing, man, and just seeing that and understanding that. And I know we're talking sports talk right now, but some of y'all who may not be as familiar with football, but that's just how God made it real to me. And that's the best way I can explain it, because we are all teammates. And, you know, a lot of times you will have a couple of guys who are all about self, and they just worried about themselves and, you know, I got to get my stats, I got to get my numbers. And, I mean, we got that in the Christian faith. A lot of Christians who want to be seen. And I mean, me just being real, I was getting to that point in doing the radio show, in doing my blog, to the point where I was like, okay, well, it's me helping people. And hearing people say, oh, man, I like your show, or, you know, that blog really blessed me. You know, it was almost like I was looking at the name on the back of my jersey that said Reese instead of the name on the front. What I was playing for was God and for all Christians and all people of my faith. And it's easy. It's so easy to get caught up in that. And, you know, you've been, like you said, you've been living for Christ. You got saved at a young age. Now, is there, it's something God is really making real to me, but how sometimes we can feel like we never really become grown, or it's not, living for Christ is not something you can retire from. You're like, okay, I put in my 15, my 20 years, I'm good. But is ever a time where God had to kind of reel you back in, or you felt, you kind of got the mindset that I was coming into of, okay, I got this, I'm doing this. And how did that really affect you?
Dude, that's good. That's really good, man. That's an awesome question, because, but hey, it feels good. I mean, you can agree with me, man. That you can't tell me boasting yourself and thinking that is you that's doing it. You can't tell me that don't feel good. I know it feels good.
Yeah,
that feels,
it does.
Yeah, it does. It does. It feels awesome, man. It feels good whenever people come and say, you know, B Dunk, you did awesome job on the television. B Dunk, you, man, your tie was just banging, man. Hey, B Dunk, we love you over any other sports station. These other people don't know what they're talking about. The fact that you're in, you know, football and you know it, man, we love it. Hey, B Dunk, man, you killed that song this weekend. You know, dude, it feels good. I mean, you can't tell me it doesn't feel good, you know. And sometimes, yeah, you are absolutely right. You get caught up in that. You get caught up in it. I've got caught up in it plenty of times, because I've had a lot of opportunity where people just got a chance to praise be done. Crazy thing is, Big A, was I got a wife, man, that just, you know, she slaps me in the face every time I come home. That's the crazy thing, you know what I mean? She slaps me in the face every time I come home. She, you know, she doesn't say it, but the look that she gives me and the way she talks to me, she doesn't downgrade me or anything, but it's like the way she talks to me is like, man, you better get your mind right, dude. You ain't got nothing around here, you know.
Uh-huh.
You know, kind of like that, you know.
One of those you ain't nobody type of deals.
You ain't nobody. You better get your mind right, basically.
Yeah.
So you know, she's a big support. She's a big help in that, because she gave me a lot of things to think about when all of these people around me are just giving me all of this praise and all of this satisfaction and, you know, all of this, you know, at the same time, she acts as Christ to me, because what she does is, oh, I'm sorry, what Christ does is he reminds me of that scripture that tells me, hey, you're nobody, you know, make sure that when you boast in God alone. You know, and he slaps me in the face as well. You know what I'm saying? So, again, when it begins to slap you in the face, things around you start to happen, you know, start happening just to let you know, or God reminds you that, hey, you're not in control of this. I got this. Uh-huh. So some things may happen where, I may say, let's take a job for instance, say, you know, I apply for a job, you know, and, oh yeah, I'm about to do this. This is all me. You know, I'm about to get this job. I did everything I needed to do. I've worked my tail off. You know, I've done every single thing that I could possibly do. Let me take it to the NFL level, Big A. I'm not in the NFL. The NFL was the biggest thing in my life. NFL was the biggest aspirations, the biggest goals, the biggest dreams. You know, and I was constantly, after every accolade, after every tackle, after every everything that I did, every praise that I got from every mouth, and I started to feel myself. God slapped me, man. He closed that NFL door as soon as it opened, bro. And so, again, I mean, God will do things in your life to let you realize, hey, I got this, bro. You sit back, you relax, boast in me. You know, I'm a jealous guy. Don't be boasting to yourself. You know what I'm saying? Give it all to me. So, yeah, it grounds me, man. It keeps me coming back. It keeps me. That slap in the face every day when I wake up, man, lets me know that, yeah, B-Dunk, you've done your thing in the community, you've done your thing in the world, but, again, you wouldn't be there if I didn't put you there. So you hit that on the money, bro.
And that's, man, you hit it on the money in just how, you know, like you were saying about your aspirations to go to the NFL and how just as soon as those doors opened, God closed them, because you were viewing it almost as football had become your God, and the accolades and the praise from other people had become your God and what you sought after. And, you know, like you said, God is a jealous God, and he's not going to allow things to come to pass that's not going to bring him glory. And so he shut those doors, and he didn't allow you to make it to the NFL and join an even bigger team than the Texas Tech football team, to where your boastfulness and your pride will be spread on would be broadcast to the world.
Mm-hmm.
And because we're called to be a light for him. We're called to be a reflection of him. And that's and when things are done in order with him and with his will and with his commands, then it's almost as if we're invincible. I mean, we're invincible in the center of God's will. It's like nothing can touch us. But even if something does touch us, God is allowing it, and it's all a part of God's plan. But
you see where you at. See what your mindset is. Absolutely.
Exactly, and it brings us back. It reels us back in, just like that coach who knows. Okay, this team is okay. Y'all undefeated right now, or whatever. Y'all getting a little full of yourself. Community rallying behind you and all this. But then that's when you have that hard practice where he run the crap out of you. And he's just reminding you, you know, y'all ain't nothing. And not the fact that he's trying to beat us down, but he's kind of trying to keep us in perspective, to keep reaching for more, to keep reaching for greater. And that's what God wants us to do, is because we're all one team. We're all one body. And I want to take this time for any of the listeners out there, anybody who may not know Christ as your personal Savior, to ask you to just accept Christ into your heart. To just open your heart and surrender and just say yes, just believe. That's all God asks for us to do, to just believe. And I just ask if you would repeat this prayer with me and accept Christ into your heart. Let's go to God in prayer. Okay. Father God, I come to you confessing that I'm a sinner and that I can't save myself. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross in my place and for my sin. I now am trusting him alone to forgive me and give me the gift of eternal life that he promised to give to anyone that came to him for it. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. and help me from this day forward to live a life pleasing to you. Amen. And I want to be the first one. I want us to be the first ones to tell you congratulations. Welcome to the team.
Yeah, because, I got your back, man. I got your back, y'all.
and that's it. You know, team, we teammates, we fight for each other. We scratch for each other when we're in the trenches. That's when you realize who your real teammates are. And but just like in football and just like in any sports, in going to college, me and B. Duncan can attest to it, you give a verbal commitment. You give a verbal commitment, committing to one particular college. But that commitment isn't ending until you sign on the dotted line. And so all of you just repeated that prayer and accepted Christ into your heart, that's your verbal commitment. But when you sign on the dotted line, how you sign on the dotted line is the life you live every single day. The life you live every single day, because it's not just service, it's not just lip service. You have to put feet to your faith, because the Bible tells us that faith without works is dead.
Yeah.
You got to walk it out. Walk it out. Live life. Be an encouragement. Put a smile on your face. Because at the end of the day, this is the best team to be a part of. There's benefits with everything. The benefits package of living for God is literally out of this world.
Your 401k is right here, baby. It's right here.
And as you can see, it's exciting. It's fun. It's fun living for God. And, I mean, B-Dunk is the perfect example of that, how it's fun living for Christ. And that's something that before I got saved and all growing up, I viewed as I got to stop having fun when I get saved.
Yeah.
But it's not so. That's not it. And for everybody who's listening, young, old, whatever age you are, it's cool living for God.
Yeah.
It's fun living for God. Because being a part of this team, like we said, the 401k is right here waiting for you. It's out of this world. It's benefits on top of benefits, on top of benefits, on top of benefits. Because that's what God has called us to do, and that's what he said he would give us, like more abundance.
Yeah.
And it's just awesome. And I'm encouraged. And y'all may not realize it, but I am. I'm so much more encouraged now than when this show first began. Because, like I said, the devil was attacking me. He was attacking me. Because I know that in his mind, he was thinking, okay, if I can get Adrian down on himself, then everybody who's listening to him, he's going to bring them down, so I just take him out. But the Bible tells us in Romans 8:28, all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And that bad thing that the devil tried to set up tonight, hey, it's working for good. I don't know what said on the show tonight and who it touched, but I know that it didn't go out void. And I just want to thank you, B-Dump. I thank you for being a guest, on the show, for sharing your heart, for encouraging me, encouraging me, because this show is not my show. It's God's show. He's the producer. He coordinates everything. He's the owner. He does. It's the same thing with this team. He's the owner. He's in the skybox watching from the skybox. He's watching down on the field as we're out playing, and if we're working together to accomplish the ultimate goal that he has in mind. But I just want to thank you, man. Thank you for being on the show. But I want to give you opportunity to let the people know how they can follow you, keep up with you, whether it be through Facebook, Twitter, whatever it may be. How would they do that?
Yeah, man. Right now, my Twitter handle is BDunk@KMacTV. I haven't changed it yet, but you can find me there. Also, Facebook. I'm Snapchatting as well. Just find my name or whatever you can. Yeah, I Snapchat, man. I try to get these crazy people some positive pictures and videos, man. It's mainly of my kids, and then a few scriptures here and there, just to kind of keep people mind right. When they're doing it. So, yeah, just hit me up Facebook, man. Hit me up on Twitter. I also wanted to thank you, man, Begay, for what you're doing, man. Also, I know we're running out of time, but I wanted to give you this, man, just to kind of encourage you a little bit more, with what the things that you're going through. Because, again, it's great to be vulnerable in front of your audience, man. It's great to show them that, you are with him side by side. And that no matter what, you're going to get through it. No matter what, at the end of the day, you got a smile on your face. So let me give you this, man. It's coming from Isaiah 49, 1 through 3, and I just want you to listen to it as your listeners as well. It says, "Listen, O coastlands, to me, and take heed, you people from afar. The Lord has called me from the womb. From the matrix of my mother, he has made mention of my name, and he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he has hidden me and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver, he has hidden me. And he said to me, 'You are my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified.'" So, man, he knows you, Big A. He knows you. He knows what your purpose is. He knows what the plan he has for you. The thing is, we have our own will. So some of his plan may be skewed a little bit, but at the same time, he's going to get us to the ending. You know, he's going to get us to the end. We may choose to go a different way, but God is so strong and he's so powerful that regardless of which way you decide, he's going to get you to that end point. Okay, regardless of what you decide, he's going to get you to that end point. So keep in mind, man, you're doing a great job. Your fiance is beautiful. Make sure that she's encouraged. Keep that in her heart. Things that you guys go through before you get married, just know that God got your back. Things that you go through with people trying to shut you down, God got your back. God is bigger than. So keep your mind right, baby boy. I'm here for you, and I love you, man. Thank you so much for having me on the show today.
And I appreciate it, man. I appreciate that word. I appreciate that verse. And what verse was that again, Isaiah? What?
It's 49:1-3.
Isaiah 49:1-3. And I'm writing that down now. And I encourage everybody out there listening to write it down and not just go back and read those three verses, but read the entire chapter. Read the verses around it. Get your own understanding. Because how it spoke to be done, you may get a whole different interpretation to where it speaks into your current situation. Because that's what God does. Why he says his word doesn't go out void. It's tailor-made for you, even though the same words are being read by me. And that's God's awesomeness. But I just want to thank you, man. And we're coming short on time, but I want to give you an opportunity. Just whatever it is, if you want to say something, if you can say something to the people out there, just encourage them, just leave a little nugget in their ear. Just a piece of advice that you would give and offer of the listeners. This is your time. Go ahead.
Good, man. Hey, listeners out there, y'all be strong, man. Regardless of what you believe and what you're thinking at this point, for you new believers that have repeated that prayer, I'm so proud of you. I'm grateful for you. But at the same time, man, make sure that you keep your head up. Keep that smile on your face, because no matter what, someone is looking at you. You have to leave a legacy. Someone is looking at you, and that smile, or the fact that you open some door for a person, could save their life. The smile on your face could save somebody's life. So be positive for those who out there who can't smile. Be positive for those who can't be positive, because God is going to take that incredibly. He's going to take that, and he's going to run with it, and he's going to bless you. So smile, 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 even if you got some ugly teeth like Adrian.
Yeah,
you ain't got ugly feet. You ain't got ugly feet.
Hey, my people know me out there, man. But it's just like you said. Keep smiling. Be positive. Keep smiling, because there's no bad day on God's team. There's no bad day, because God is an awesome God. But like B-Dunk said, keep smiling. B-Dunk, I just want to thank you for being on the show, man, and for all of my listeners out there. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at @SOUS_fisherman. Hit me up. Holler at me. You can find me on Facebook. But we'll be back same time next Thursday.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll be here, man. Make sure you get me back on, man.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to bring you back, man.
Yeah.
But
I know today we was all struggling, but make sure you get me back on.
Oh yeah, man. I definitely will. And because hey, it's not you bless me, and I know you bless somebody else out there. But we're running short on time, and so I just want to say to all my listeners, at the same time next Thursday, you know, be sure to tune in. And you've been tuned into The Recruit with Adrian Reese, broadcasting on Sword Radio by way of PDP Richmond. And I'll see you next week, and until then, be blessed and be real.
Amen.